KBOO News In Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
Wildfire season in the Pacific Northwest is starting earlier than normal this year. Already, Oregon Governor Kate Brown has declared a state of emergency related to wildfires. In southeastern Oregon, the Bootleg Fire has spanned 200,000 acres, and fire crews estimate that the blaze won't be fully contained until the end of November. There's a long road ahead of folks in the Pacific Northwest when it comes to wildfires. Climate change and drought are big factors as to why the threat of wildfires is so severe this year. But there are actions that individuals can take to better understand their fire risk and protect themselves, their families, and their property. Mary Leathers is part of the wildfire prevention team in the Pacific Northwest from the Texas A&M Forest Service. I spoke with Mary to learn more about what people can do to prevent and mitigate wildfire damage in their area.
Right. Well, we've been asked to come in because of the moderate drought that the area is experiencing, which is continuing to deepen with the lack of rain, you know, high temperatures, winds, and the drying of the vegetation in the area. They're concerned about wildfire starts. I know last year you had some fires that threatened communities. There was home loss. And so our job is to come in, raise awareness of what's going on out there and how you individually and as a group can reduce the number of human caused starts, because most of the wildfires that occur are because of people. So that's what we're here for, is to help raise awareness, give advice, provide information to the public, because public safety is the most important job.
Right. And so to go into that a little bit, you mentioned the human causes, and I want to kind of dig into what are the overarching trends that are impacting our wildfire risk, and then what are sort of those more micro-level things that can increase it. So what role does climate change play, first off?
Well, it causes, you know, for the rain events, the what we would call normal in the past, it's not normal anymore. There may be a delay in the monsoonal setup. It may be delayed. It may not come in as moist as we have been seen it in the past. So there are some of those changes that are going on. And it's also kind of shifting weather conditions across the U.S. that was traditionally not subject to things. They're now becoming more subject to things. You know, the snowfall may not have the inches or the feet that we were predicting in the past. So that snow melt impacts sometimes the startup of getting that vegetative green up. So those are things that we're paying attention to. And I know that the meteorologist and others involved with that are keeping a very close eye on those conditions and trends.
Right. We're coming right off of this extreme heat wave in the Pacific Northwest. Does that kind of inform what this wildfire season will be like this year?
It's starting almost a month early, is what we've been told from the fire management officials and the fire weather analysts that are looking at this. So what we were seeing in June really should have been happening in July and August. So we're a month ahead of where we should be. So that's why we're raising awareness of things are dry out there. They're getting drier, and it doesn't take a whole lot of heat or energy to start a small wildfire. And all fires start small, and then they have the potential to go big based on conditions.
Right. And so with the wildfire season starting earlier, does that indicate that it's just moved up in the calendar year, or that it will last longer than it has historically?
Yeah, I think it's moved up, and they're continuing to watch it. They're expecting it to continue through the summer months. And then when the fall weather and things set up, they'll have a more information about what that looks like transitioning into fall going into winter. But this summer, they are anticipating that, as of right now, there's going to be drier conditions. It's going to also be based on activity that's going to be in the Pacific, pushing moisture, any of those drivers that are from in the other region, the other states that may push into that mountain range in the Cascades. And so when you have a mountain range sometimes it takes stronger weather events to get them pushed up and over those mountain ranges. Does that make sense? Because
yeah,
they're meeting a resistance. Yeah, they're meeting resistance, so they need a little bit of a stronger atmospheric force to bring the weather in.
So within the wildfire prevention team and thinking about this wildfire season that we are now, I guess, in the middle of, I might have said approaching last year, do you have recommendations for individuals? What kind of responsibility do individual people have?
As I said before, most of these fires that we're seeing are human caused, and it's by things as something like where you're allowed to have campfires is not putting them out properly or watching them. Where you're leaving, like you're thinking, oh, I'm just going to run down to the showers or whatever and come back to my campground. You cannot leave a campfire unattended. You need to make sure that when you leave it, that it's cold out, that there's no heat in it. So it takes a little bit of time. It's going to take dirt, water, stirring the coals, checking for heat, dirt, water, continuing that until that is cool to the touch, because those embers can sit and you get a wind event. Even a light wind can push embers out of the campfire ring and into dry vegetation, and that's very receptive. And then before you know it, you have a wildfire. So that's something that humans can take care of. Those campers, be aware of that. If you're traveling, look at your tire condition, making sure that they're inflated properly, that they are in good condition and they're not worn. If you're hauling trailers, things like that, adjust the chains so they're not striking the ground, because they can produce sparks. And if this, the conditions and the trend that we're going to, those roadside starts can occur. If you have a tire blowout or you're riding on the rim, that's causing sparks. Those sparks, believe it or not, can cause roadside starts. So that's something that we can prevent. You know, no debris burning, especially if it's been banned or there's restrictions. If you do burn debris, then you need to be in contact with your local fire officials, making sure that you do it properly and knowing what the wind events are going to be the day of and for several days after that burning. So you're looking for alternatives so that you don't have to burn, so that you don't cause a spark. You know, anything that has a combustible engine that can spark has the possibility of causing a fire. Staying off-road with those vehicles is making sure the catalytic converters and everything is, and the mufflers are correct. The best thing to do is just not go off-roading right now, or looking at designated trails that are allowed for use.
Wow, so there's a lot more vectors for a potential spark than just like a cigarette or a match or something like that.
No, anything that can produce a higher degree of heat or cause a spark can cause a wildfire. It could be something as simple as welding on fences. And if you don't have a spotter or a fire extinguisher or water, that fire could quickly grow and exceed your capability to put it out. So then you're calling the fire department, local responders to come out. And we're asking you to be a partner with those responders, emergency responders, and doing what you can to reduce the risk to the public and those first responders. Because every time they go out, they put themselves at risk because their job is public safety.
Right. So what kind of preparation should people take for wildfire season? Is there a need for folks to reform their thinking about it?
I think they should be prepared for a wildfire, because we never know where they're going to start. But just be prepared for the event if that wildfire starts. Is look around your home. See what you can do to reduce the fuel around it. And what's, we're trying to change that fire behavior as it moves into the property, and giving the firefighters something to deal, assist with them in putting out the fire, cleaning the gutters, moving the firewood now that we don't need it away from the home, at least 30 feet, keeping your flower beds clean, you know, trying to keep your grass short, and building those areas, which we call home ignition zones, is changing that fuel loading or that vegetation around there so that that fire, if it does come in, and a lot of times you're going to see embers before it, it's manageable and it stays small, something that maybe because of the lack of vegetation around the house, it may go out on its own, or it's a small fire that will not come into the structure. You're creating almost like a fire break around your home. You're making sure that your roof is clean so that there's no vegetation on it where those little embers can start a fire and hold heat. So that's the key, is trying to remember that it can be the little embers that can cause problems around the structure. Lots of times it's not the flaming front of the fire itself, but those embers that are in front of the fire that can cause the most issues. One of the other things is having a evacuation plan, is knowing, who do I need to take care of to evacuate? Do I have animals that I need to be concerned about? How do I get them loaded, and how do we pack and be ready to move? And where are we going to? It's always good to have two ways in and out in case your first route is compromised. And the other key is knowing when to leave. Don't wait till the last minute to get trapped in smoke and heavy fire. That's not a good situation. So I really encourage folks to talk to their local fire officials and stay updated on the conditions. The other thing I would recommend, if you have a cell phone, which most people do, is go and sign up for alerts so that you know when things are occurring in your area. You can get weather alerts, fire alerts, different emergency public announcements that will let you know what's going on in your area. So staying informed is going to help keep you safe.
Are there aspects of wildfire prevention that you think are misunderstood generally? I know you talked about the embers a little bit.
I think people misunderstand it. I think a lot of them don't realize how fast a wildfire can move. A wildfire can move faster than a human being can run if you're on foot. And a lot of it depends on the fuel, the vegetation, how dry it is, the winds, and the temperatures all play a role in what fire behavior is going to do. And there's many times you've seen, I know, probably video of how quickly that fire can move up a hillside or move across the landscape. And people just really can't outrun that. So that's why the key is to have that plan to leave early and have that place where you're going to go so that you have accountability too. Because as firefighters, we want to go in and check and make sure everything's good. We will at times put ourselves at greater risk to go back in to check for citizens. So by having a plan and communicating that plan and then having accountability is really, really crucial in staying safe. And having discussion, listening to the weather, watching the news, listening to radio, reading the newspaper, going to websites that have information regarding fires. NCWEB's a great website where you can go and learn about the fires that are going on across the nation. And if there's one next to you, it's going to tell you what the conditions are and how that fire is going.
Does your team think about long-term solutions for reducing fire risk? Or is it mostly focused on like individuals and awareness?
Our team comes in for a two-week assignment, so we're looking at the critical issues that we can address during that time, which is raising awareness of the campfire dangers, the conditions of the fuels, those things. The long-term outlook really lies with those local land management agencies, local, state, federal, working together and looking at those plans. Some of those plans include fuels treatments, where it could be prescribed burning, it can be mechanical thinning, helping change and reduce the fuel loading or the amount of fuel available in those areas. It helps to lots of time restore forest health, prairie health, and things like that. Watershed, those are all things that they look at when we're talking about land management, is habitat, the threat to communities, because we have a lot of what they call wildland urban interface areas, where the wildlands join improvements like communities, and a lot of those communities can be next to public land boundaries. So they share a common interest in doing what they can to, one, protect forest and like I said, prairie property health. Also, how does it impact the public? Those folks that live in the community, those people that enjoy the public lands, So we're kind of all in this together, is looking for what's going to benefit. We're trying to make people understand that they need to protect their heritage, which is the beauty of the land, the management of the land, and what does that look like?
Right. And, you know, we're speaking a few days after the July 4th weekend, where there was, you know, significant concern and bans in many parts of Oregon and some parts of Washington on fireworks and firework displays because of this wildfire risk. Do you have kind of like a postmortem perspective on that? Was that a successful, you know, measure to take?
I think it was very successful. The number of fire starts were down a little bit. The fires that did occur, with the exception, let me rephrase that. As far as we've been notified, the number of fires were manageable by local resources. The number of fireworks used, from what we've been told, it was down because people were more aware of the situation. They actually probably went and enjoyed more of those organized fireworks shows that were put on than going out on their own. But I will remind people, I've been told that they have through July 9th to use the fireworks. So don't let your guard down. Remember to be safe and be smart about fireworks. Now is not the time to go out somewhere and light them off and not have the proper tools there with you, like a shovel, water, where those fireworks are allowed. What you're going to find is in many places those fireworks were not allowed because of the conditions.
Right. It doesn't just end because we're not all doing it on the 4th.
That's correct.
Do you have any final thoughts that you'd like to share before we wrap up?
I just want the folks there, the visitors, the residents, to pay attention to the conditions out there. Stay abreast of the knowledge that's being shared. Look at the websites. Talk to people. And I think if there's not going to be any significant rain in the next few weeks from what we're being told, and as this continues on, the conditions are only going to get more critical. So please pay attention to what's going on. Please do your part to reduce the human caused starts and share the information with others so that you can keep Oregon and Washington and Alaska beautiful, because they are just gorgeous states. And let's be a good steward of the land and do what we can to protect it. And as I'm a fire chief here at home, and I've been on some large wooey fires and things like that. And when homeowners have invested into their property and done what they can to reduce the risk, that makes it's easier for us, based on fire behavior, to be able to go in and either stay and protect their house or come back after the fire passes and re-engage it, because it's a partnership. Those homeowners have done their part, and we're going to do our level best to do our part to protect their homes.
Well, Mary, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with me today. I appreciate it.
That was Mary Weathers with the Pacific Northwest Wildfire Prevention Team for the Texas A&M Forest Service. We spoke about what individuals can do to reduce fire risk and mitigate damage to their homes in the face of a long and dangerous wildfire season in the Pacific Northwest. Find links and resources related to this story on our website, kbu.fm/eveningnews. For KBU News In Depth, I'm Althea Billings.